The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Okay, let's start off with an interesting article from the cover story. Let's be friends. How to make lasting connections that lift you up. If you feel making friends as an adult isn't as easy as it used to be, you're right. As kids, we have recess and gym class. We can let our guard down, says Marissa J. Franco, Ph.D., a psychology professor at the University of Maryland and author of Platonic, How the Science of Attachment Can Help You Make and Keep Friends. According to sociologists, repeated unplanned interactions and opportunities to let ourselves be vulnerable are necessary for creating bonds that turn into friendship. For many of us, today's work-from-home reality makes those options fewer than ever. A 2021 survey by the American Enterprise Institute, a public policy think tank, found that the percentage of Americans who say they have no close friends has quadrupled since 1990 to 12%. We've been never more disconnected, says Jody Carrington, a psychologist and author of Feeling, Seeing, Reconnecting in a Disconnected World. And the greatest predictor for overall well-being isn't how much you drink or smoke or what you eat, it's social engagement. Research by Brigham Young University psychologist Julianne Holt Lundstedt has shown that loneliness is a major threat to longevity, on par with smoking 15 cigarettes a day or being an alcoholic. People who are lonely or socially isolated have a higher risk of impaired immune function, depression, dementia, and cardiac death. On the flip side, healthy friendships can get us an age better, cope with stress, and live happily, happier, longer lives. Plus, happiness is contagious. A Harvard study found that when a person gets happy, their friends who live within a one-mile radius have a 25% higher chance of feeling happier, too. Researchers concluded, people's happiness extends up to 3 degrees of separation, for example, to the friend of one's friend's friends. Here are tips of relationship experts for making and deepening friendships. Be proactive. Friendships don't just happen, says Shasta Nelson, a San Francisco-based expert on healthy relationships and the author of Frintimacy, How to Deepen Friendship for Lifelong Health and Happiness. And if they do, they might not be sustainable. A study published in the Journal of Social and Personal Relationships found that the belief that friendships were based on external or uncontrollable factors, luck, basically, predicted greater loneliness 5 years later. Be optimistic. In a 2022 study, researchers at the University of Pittsburgh found that recipients of an unexpected communication, such as a short note or a small gift, appreciated the gesture a lot more than sender thought they would. Not surprisingly, a positive attitude can make us friends, but not just in the obvious way. We often underestimate how much people like us. If we assume we're going to be liked, we become more likable, warmer, friendly, and more open. Make a list. Write down the names of 3 to 5 people you know but would like to be closer to, suggests Nelson. Then reach out to each of them. Send a text message, an invitation to meet for a cup of coffee, a shared photo or a memory, or an article that made you think of them. See if a small gesture might spark a deeper connection. Branch out. Don't limit yourself to one close friend. Nobody gives you all the ways you need, says Nelson. A few good buddies can make a difference. A 2020 Northern Illinois study of middle-aged women found that those with 3 to 5 close friends had higher levels of overall satisfaction with life. Expect awkwardness. Awkwardness isn't a good reason to back out of a new relationship. It's just a normal part of getting to know someone, says Nelson. For example, when we go to the gym and start to sweat, she says, we don't panic and think, this must be bad for me. Recent research from the Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern University shows that we tend to overestimate how awkward the first meeting will be. Gillian Sandstrom, a psychologist at the University of Sussex in England, who researches the effects of talking to strangers, puts it in perspective. The other person doesn't want to an awkward conversation either. Put the time in. Making a close friend takes time, often more than 200 hours of time together over several weeks, according to the oft-cited University of Kansas study from 2018. That's why we tell people to take a class or volunteer, says Nelson. Repeated activities come with built-in get-to-know-you schedule. Embrace vulnerability. Vulnerability is a cornerstone of any healthy relationship. It acknowledges that's okay if not everything's great, says Nelson. That's when we feel seen and known. To start diving deeper, she suggests asking highlight, lowlight questions, like asking someone, what was the best part of your week? And then, what was the most stressful? Practice. After the pandemic, many of us forgot how to socialize, says Franco. Social skills are like muscles. We can work them. In 2022 study by Sandstrom, participants were required to talk to strangers every day for a week. And what do you know? By the end, people were less worried about being rejected and more confident they could keep the conversation going. Now, here's some examples of friendships. As soon as I could turn the page, my apologies here. Letters Across the Pond. Christina Payano, Hauppauge, New York, and Betty Johnson, Hornchurch, UK. Christina, when I was 10 in 1962, my sister's class was doing a pen pal project with a school in England. I was intrigued. So her teacher gave me the name of a girl there, Betty. In our first letters, we got to know each other, finding out about our families, our interests, our neighborhoods. Christina, we've shared everything over the years. When her son was born, I was ecstatic. When her husband died, I cried like I lost a family member. After 9/11, Betty wrote me the most heartfelt, loving letter. Betty, when the London subway bombing happened in 2005, I had a very moving letter from Chris. Christina, whether something good or sad happened, sometimes I just needed to sit down and let it flow. I shared things with her that I couldn't share with anyone else. Betty, in 1971, when we were 19, Chris and her sister visited London, and we finally met each other. Christina, we met in Trafalgar Square. Betty had told me she'd be wearing red shoes and carrying a newspaper, so I knew her immediately. We hugged forever. Betty, I never imagined when I sent out my first letter that we'd still be writing 60 years later. Emailing now is wonderful. It's as if she's closer. Christina, our friendship is one of the great treasures of my life. Unlikely mates. Jean-Francois Leguire and Francis Hébert, both in Montreal. Jean-Francois, I met Francis in a bar with friends when I was 29. At first I couldn't stand him. He was loud and obnoxious. I left early. Francis, we were like two magnets repelling each other. He was clearly annoyed by me, and that feeling was mutual. Jean-Francois, but our paths kept crossing. We kept started talking, having debates about politics, which I never did with any other friends, and found we had a lot in common. We now have an honest relationship. He's a person I can talk to about anything. I don't agree with him a lot of the time, but you need that in your life. Francis, for instance, he claims to be very fashionable, despite wearing Fruit of the Loom t-shirts. But seriously, he's probably the one true friend in my life. Jean-Francois, before I met Francis, I had friends, but I'd given up on true friendship. Francis and I have that kind of best friend thing you have when you're 12 or 13. It's like finding a brother. A Paris match. Catherine Camillien, Paris, and Valérie Rualt, Yongyi, France. Catherine, in 1994, I was going through a breakup and was alone for the first time in years. I already had a solid group of friends. Then I met Valérie. We worked for the same company. Valérie, our work could be stressful, but Kat and I had a good relationship from the start. We laughed a lot. She has a gift for listening, and I talk a lot, so we're complimentary. Catherine, she was so sunny. I talked to her about my breakup, and she always knew what to say. Recently, my son was depressed. He didn't want to see me. Val told me to have faith in him, that he just needed to know I was there. She would call me to say it would be okay. And it was. He was. Valérie, we have nothing to prove to each other. Our trust is deep. Catherine, sometimes we don't connect as often as we'd like, but when we do, we just pick up where we've left off. How many of you have a friend that you haven't seen in a long time, and you meet up with them, and all of a sudden it's just like you haven't been apart at all? I have a couple like that. People who make time to hang out with friends have all the luck. Back to the poker table. Years ago, I lived next door to a pessimistic older man named Steve, who told me he hadn't had any friends since quitting his factory job 20 years earlier. The bowling league, happy hours, and poker games had all withered. Steve sat on his porch all day. Across the street was another neighbor, Werner. Weather permitting, Werner sat on a battered Lazy Boy recliner. He'd set up on his lawn. The two men, both around the same age, stared at each other but rarely talked. When Steve collapsed on his porch, Werner watched as the ambulance crew tried to revive him. I went to Steve's funeral, a subdued event. There were just four of us, including a priest who hadn't met him. Steve and Werner are a handy metaphor for the kind of isolation that COVID-19 has visited upon many of us, an isolation that still lingers. Though we men were heading in that direction anyway, the percentage of males with at least six close friends fell by half between 1990 and 2021, according to the Survey Center on American Life. Simply put, men are in a friend recession. Guys are gifted in the art of isolation, the result of social conditioning and 10,000 years of evolutionary forces, where cooperation has been offset by competition. The intervention of the big screen TV hasn't helped much either. And so by middle age, we can find ourselves stranded. People move, we're occupied with children and work, we're tired, we're distracted, we change. Then there's our team mindset. A 2020 Oxford University study confirms what many guys will readily admit. Males prefer to socialize in groups rather than one-on-one. Groups are looser, less intimate, and shared activities often revolve around something, a sport, a bar, a fantasy football draft. But when the activity goes away, the group often goes with it. I connected with an old friend who had played professional football, and I asked him if he was in touch with any of his former teammates. No, he said. When football ended, those connections did too. Without that central activity to sustain them, they all vanished from one another's lives. There was a time when card games or beer league hockey or getting together to watch the Super Bowl was a sort of guilty pleasure, a vaguely senseless masculine activity. Now we're learning that these things, or at least the connectedness they represent, are fundamental to mental health. 20 years ago, I was invited to join a poker game made up of writers, a few musicians, a lawyer, a media guy. We met monthly and the game became sort of an oasis. There were literary quarrels, laughter, discussions about music, and lots of stories. We didn't socialize so much outside the game. Spouses and children got a conversational nod, but mostly remained in the background. That game became part of the essential fabric of my life, and revolved with the group. We used to start at 7 p.m. with a martini and play until 2 a.m. Now there are no martinis, a lot less alcohol of any kind, and we quit before midnight. The haze of cigarette smoke is long gone. The food is better. Over two decades, we've gone from chips and pretzels to sushi and homemade tartare tatin. Two of our original players died and one moved away. But the game remains, with new players joining a new society forming. When the pandemic arrived, we switched to Zoom games. We downloaded a poker app on our phones and looked at those nine boxes containing our heads on our computer screens. The app dealt all nine players instantaneously, so the Zoom version galloped along much faster than the live version, where the dealer would laboriously shuffle and deal, or stop mid-deal to tell a story until someone finally barked, "Deal the damn cards!" Despite the efficiency, the app presented problems. It took all our concentration to keep track on multiple screens of what was going on with each other and with the game. Conversational flow and easy banter didn't really happen. It felt like any online poker game, the kind played with anonymous strangers. Two of the guys eventually pulled out, saying they'd wait until we could get together in person. A couple of months later, when we finally reconnected for our live games after a two-year break, we rejoiced. We didn't care that someone's dog ate much of the food we'd put out. We didn't mind the slow dealing, the stories and losing hands. It was just good to see everyone, to talk and to feel the comfort of the group. Isolation is a common factor in male suicide, particularly men who are middle-aged and older. It's one reason their suicide rates are three times higher than those of women. According to Robin Dunmore, an evolutionary psychologist at Oxford University, women really do have more friends than men, and women's relationships with their friends are more intense. Loneliness already played a role in men's declining mental health, but the pandemic created more isolation, followed by a global spike in depression and anxiety. Many people who have been working at home are staying put. Some offices are open up again, but not everyone is coming back, at least not full-time. Those who are may find themselves in an almost empty office, often a lonelier feeling than working from home, and without the lunches and with clients or after-work drinks with colleagues. Even though getting together with other men is beneficial for mental health, in my experience there are limitations to men's groups, the biggest one being that they aren't just conducive to discussing emotional issues. At my poker game, we celebrate one another's successes, but we rarely acknowledge failures or vulnerabilities. This can be taken to extremes. One of our guys died of cancer without telling any of us he was sick. We thought Ben looked thin, but a bit tired. Then he was gone. In 2018, articles in the American Journal of Men's Health about men's social connectedness and mental health. The authors wrote that men often seek emotional connections outside of male groups. We looked at women, wives, sisters, female friends, which allows us to maintain a pattern of masculinity in public while seeking emotional support from women in private. The Oxford University study that observed that men are like socializing in groups also noted that women prefer to socialize one-on-one. It's a setting more conducive to discussing fears, vulnerabilities, getting really personal, which is one reason friendships with women are the perfect complement to male friendships. I have a spouse to confide in, and a few female friends I regularly meet one-to-one for lunch. The dynamic is much different from getting together with the guys, as much as I love doing that. When I am with my female friends, we talk about our children, work, the state of everyone's health, our aging parents. We have a glass of wine and talk for 2 hours, and I emerge into this afternoon light unburdened. I like to think they do, too. There isn't much research on male-female friendship, but the research that does exist points out one perhaps obvious fact. Men generally get more out of male-female relationships than women do. Women already have female friends with whom they share feelings and fears. All they gain from us is the male perspective, which may not always be uplifting. And there are issues with heterosexual male-female friendships, chiefly the potential for sexual tension. In a study published more than 20 years ago in the Journal of Social and Personal Relationships, women reported this as the least appealing aspect of having a male friend. While for men it was one of the main reasons to initiate a female friendship. The research, while not new, supports the view made famous when Harry met Sally. In the 1989 film, Billy Crystal says to Meg Ryan, "Men and women can't be friends because the sex always gets in the way." Ryan asked if that means men can be friends only with women they don't find attractive. "Nope," Crystal answers, saying that men want to have sex with them, too. So there are risks to male-female friendships, which can, of course, be compounded by jealous partners, though not mine, thankfully. However, the rewards of cross-sex friendship, as researchers call them, are significant, at least for men. I'm just really glad to have both types of friendships. I can meet my female friends for a nice lunch, a glass of wine, and unburdening, then head off to poker. Errors in international marketing. When Schweppes tonic water launched its product in Italy, the name was translated literally as Schweppes toilet water. Claro introduced a curling iron called a mist stick to Germany, only to find out that mist means manure in German. Pepsi's slogan, "Pepsi brings you back to life," became "Pepsi bring dead ancestors back from the grave" in Chinese. Sam I Am. Before creating the private detective Sam Spade, author Dashiell Hammett was himself a Pinkerton detective. The Sunday Long Read website recently ran in a listicle Hammett wrote in 1923 for the magazine, the smart set detailing some of the odd things he encountered on the job. "A man whom I was shadowing went out into the country for a walk one Sunday afternoon and lost his bearings completely. I had to direct him back to the city. I know an operative who, while looking for pickpockets at a racetrack, had his wallet stolen. The chief of police once gave me a description of a man complete even to the mole on his neck, but neglected to mention that he had only one arm." And with that, we're going to switch over to Consumer Reports a little early because of such a dearth in Reader's Digest material. Okay, we were talking about how to save money around your home. Entertain yourself economically. When buying new audio-video equipment, look for ENERGY STAR certification. These components can be up to 70% more efficient than conventional models. Running a TV alone isn't usually a large expense. One study found the worst power guzzle to be a 10-year-old 65-incher at about $81 a year. But when you consider all the devices many of us use, soundbars, receivers, etc., it can add up to a decent energy suck and expense. Tame your tech budget. Extend the life of your phone. Here's a way to avoid pairing for a pricey new phone and creating waste. Replace your current phone battery. At the Apple Store, the out-of-warranty cost for a repair is $49 to $99, depending on the phone model. Because even the lowest-priced iPhone SE costs $429, you can save $330 or more. Best Buy's Geek Squad will provide the service on Samsung Galaxy models for $70 to $80. Number two, buy refurbished electronics. Apple, Dell, and Samsung sell refurbished tech such as laptops, smartphones, and tablets. This is a great way to save money, extend the life of the device, and keep it out of a landfill. On Apple's website, for example, you can purchase a refurbished 13.3-inch MacBook Air for $849, saving at least $150 by buying a new Air, $990 and up. Interested in headphones or speakers? Bose and Sonos also have programs. But first, look for certified pre-owned products with a new rechargeable battery and all the standard accessories. Get a warranty. You have no protection without one. And ask about the return policy. At least a month is best, leaving time for problems to arise. Donate used tech. If your old gadget still works, and often it doesn't, a charity or nonprofit will probably take it. Check local recreation centers and organizations for older people first, and get a receipt so you can deduct your donation on next year's tax return. Or try Dell Reconnect, a partnership with Goodwill that accepts computers and just about anything that may be connected to a computer. According to the website, you can drop off used devices at Goodwill locations around the country. Find one at the DellReconnect.com. The World Computer Exchange, which aims to close the digital divide in developing countries and to promote the reuse and recycling of electronics. It provides used computers and other types of gadgets to communities worldwide. Go to worldcomputerexchange.org. Amp up your insulation. Save $220 or more. The average homeowner can slash energy costs by 11% if they fill cracks and add insulation to attics, floors, and crawl spaces, and any basement and rim joists within reach, according to the EPA. That means you could save about $220 per year on a typical energy bill of $2,000 and qualify for a federal tax credit of up to 30% of the cost. When shopping for insulation, the higher R value, the better its thermal performance. Search EPA's recommended home insulation R values for the recommended R value for where you live. Prep for winter this summer. Save up $300 a year. Trap the old windows, let cold air in and warm air out as temperatures dip. Play defense now and consider adding a low-emissivity, low-E storm window inserts. Their thermally efficient coating helps control heat transfer. Costing between $60 and $200 each, they pop into place for a simple do-it-yourself job. The payoff, lowering your energy costs by 10 to 30%, up to $300 to $1,000 annually. For rebates on energy-efficient replacement windows, check energystar.gov/rebate-finder. Consider a heat pump, up to $948 a year. A typical American household spends an estimated $2,000 per year on utility bills, and heating and cooling our homes accounts for a big bite of that. For heating with gas, last winter's costs are estimated at $931. For electric heat, $1,350. For oil, about $2,300. To shrink that bill, now is a great time to switch to a heat pump. The most common types, called an air source heat pump, absorbs heat from the air, shifting it indoors or outdoors depending on the season. Heat pumps are a significant investment, costing on average $58.95. But the latest systems can save up to $950 in energy bills per year compared with oil heating and $459 per year versus electric baseboard and radiant floor heating. Plus, federal tax credits and state rebates make investing in a system now more affordable than ever. Try smart plugs. These small, budget-friendly devices plug into wall sockets and work via smartphone hack, making it easy to remote control and automate lights, fans, coffee makers, electronics, and more. Some smart plugs also monitor energy use so you can figure out which devices in your home guzzle away. A CR Writer's recent home test found that a space heater consumed 2.6 kilowatt hours, about 35 cents in one day. Tip, make sure the plug could handle the wattage of the device you use it on so it's not overloaded. And the costs are roughly $45 and some of them are even $15. An easy way to give away old furniture. My husband and I recently revamped our son's room, which left us with a few pieces of worn furniture we no longer needed. Charitable thrift shop, the stuff wasn't good enough for a nearby charitable thrift shop. The local Goodwill doesn't take furniture, and a junk pickup service, which would then donate any items you wanted to charge us $258 for the job, which is more than we wanted to spend. I decided to try our neighborhood Buy Nothing Facebook group. part of the Buy Nothing Project, a community-building organization that invites participants to post items they'd like to give away or ask for items they need, all free. We posted my son's dresser to the group, documenting its dents and scratches. That evening, we messaged with the person who replied first. She and her husband came by with a luggage cart the next day and rolled the dresser away. I plan to give away the other pieces soon, and I'm grateful that our furniture will go to new homes instead of a landfill. Savings in the kitchen. Potential savings $3,200. Conserve energy in two easy ways. By shifting your habits slightly, you can save power plus money in the kitchen. Try these tips. Use some microwave instead of the oven when possible. It draws up to 80% less energy, no preheating required, and it won't eat up your kitchen on a hot day. Or a toaster oven could use up to half the energy of a full-size oven to cook the same meal. Always leave a lever faucet in the cold position when using small amounts of water. Otherwise, you are triggering water to be heated on reserve when it might not be needed. Eat less meat. Save over $900 a year. Ever wonder how much you could save if you stop eating meat for a year? It could cut your grocery bill by a third or almost a cool $1,000, according to a 2021 Oxford study. Cultivate a mini garden. Buying fresh herbs around $2 a bunch and microgreens about $4 weekly can really add up. But you could shrink your grocery bill by nurturing them from seed on a sunny windowsill using space-saving kits, $15 and up online. $1.98. Eat more rice. By replacing potatoes with rice three times a week, a family of four would be $197 richer by year's end. Just add a stir-fry curry, beans, or other protein to round out your meal. And then have a rice cooker here for $35. University study citing 2017 data. Plus, you would lower your carbon footprint. Not ready to go fully meat-free? Eat more veggies and less meat or poultry. A flexitarian diet can also help lower your food spending by 14% or about $380 a year. Meatless alternatives can cost more. At Walmart, we found ground beef recently for $4.78 a pound. Guardian plant-based ground beef, and that's in parentheses, cost $5.72 a pound, while the Impossible Foods version was $7.95 per pound. But try cooking with tofu, $2.02 per pound, and you'll actually save. For inspiration, put the phrase Meatless Monday into your search engine and pick some recipes that catch your eye. Rev up efficiency on ranges and refrigerators. Save at least $222 a year. Your range and refrigerator are kitchen workhorses. If yours need replacing, consider going with new energy-efficient models. Energy Star certified fridges, for example, are about 9% more efficient than those that meet the minimum standard and can save you over $260 during a 12-year lifetime. Here's how to use your appliance more efficiently. Do gasket check on your fridge. Take a dollar bill and close the refrigerator door on it at half in, half out. To check the seal, repeat at various spots. If it pulls out easily, you may want to replace the gasket to make sure your fridge stays cool. Set your refrigerator fresh food compartment at 37 degrees Fahrenheit. To save energy and keep food fresh as long as possible, and set your freezer at 0 degrees Fahrenheit to keep foods thoroughly frozen. Defrost manual defrost fridges and fridges regularly. When frost builds up past a quarter inch, the unit becomes less efficient. Check the flames on your range's gas burners. The color blue is a good sign, but yellow means the fuel is burning inefficiently and you may need an adjustment. When cooking, don't open the oven door. Instead, look through the glass to check your dish. Opening the door lets heat escape, forcing the oven to fire up again to compensate. Organize your fridge to save food and cash. The average family of costs four loses $1,500 in uneaten food each year, according to the EPA. I don't doubt that. And just think of the water, fertilizer, energy, and other resources that went into producing those groceries. Here's how to better job of using what you buy. Store produce properly. Anything that might wilt goes in a high-humidity fridge drawer. Most fruits, peppers, and items that could rot go into the low-humidity drawer to extend their life. Wash fruits correctly. That means washing just before eating the fruits, for such as cherries, berries, and grapes. Otherwise, they can get moldy. Separate the smart way. Store apples, avocados, bananas, pears, and stone fruits separately. They emit ethylene gas as they ripen, making other nearby produce ripen more quickly and even spoil. Label your leftovers. Note what they are and the date, then stack them dead, ideally in clear containers if 3 or 4 days pass and they haven't been eaten. Pack them into the freezer until you need them. Freeze fruits and veggies that will otherwise spoil. Store in the made-for-freezer packaging, such as plastic zip-top bags, and squeeze out as much air as possible, then add frozen produce to smoothies and stews. Go low for meat. The bottom shelf of the refrigerator is the chilliest, perfect for keeping meat, poultry, and seafood fresh. Don't trust the door for dairy. The compartment inside the door is a warmer spot in the fridge, even if it has a shelf to create or a carton stowing milk. There could lead it to spoiling sooner. Excuse my tongue. Don't sweat the sell-by dates. With the exception of infant formula, date stamps on food are not required by federal law, nor do they reflect food safety. If a food's use-by date has passed, it still should be safe to eat if it has been handled properly, unless its smell, flavor, or texture seems off, a sign of spoilage. So that bag of salad passes best-by date may still be fit to eat. Store leftovers together. I designated one shelf in the fridge for leftovers a few years ago. It's cut our food waste dramatically. One look at the shelf tells me if our cooking is getting too far ahead of our eating. If so, I can send something to the freezer or take a night off from the stove so we can whittle down the leftovers. That's from Sarah Streeter in Montana. Make appliances last longer. Your refrigerator, range, and dishwasher keep your kitchen humming, but they're expensive to repair or replace. Care for them the right way, and if you need a new one, pick a reliable, efficient model. Clean up cooktop spills ASAP. Once they dry and harden, they can clog gas burners and might require harsh, possibly damaging scrubbing to remove them from a smooth cooktop. Wipe up with paper towels and follow up with a soapy sponge as needed on gas burners. Clean electric coils with a damp cloth and a smooth cooktops with a liquid cooktop cleaner and paper towels or a ceramic cooktop cleaning pad. Put away the foil. Do you like to line your oven bottom and racks with foil for easier cleanup? Don't, says Ron Schmeck, president of Mr. Appliance, one of the neighborhood home services companies. It can interfere with functioning and even melt in your oven. Clean your oven, too. Degunk your oven regularly to get rid of grease and drips and keep it working well. Baby your range's control panel. Wipe it clean with a damp, lint-free cloth and dish soap, but don't get it sopping wet. Water could seep into the circuitry and damage it. On your refrigerator, clean the coils. On the underside or rear of your fridge, the condenser coils tend to accumulate dust, dirt, grease, and other gunk, lowering efficiency. Vacuum them with a soft brush attachment or at least twice a year. Don't pile items on top of your refrigerator. As tempting as it may be to use it as a bonus storage space, objects on top may interfere with the appliance's ability to dissipate heat. Dishwasher. Scrape the plates before loading the machine. Don't rinse, but do scrape. Bones and other hard bits of food can cause clogs. Don't stop at mid-cycle. If you forgot to add coffee mug, wait until the next load or hand wash it rather than causing an abrupt stop. Clean the filter. Discard the food that gets stuck there monthly or more often if tableware feels gritty so it doesn't come up the works. Don't ignore the door seal. Give it a regular cleaning with a vinegar-soaked cloth to inhibit mold. Avoid double washing your dishes. Uh-oh. You push the start button on a dishwasher full of already clean pots and plates. Again, that's why clean dirty magnets, $3 and up on Amazon and other retailers, were invented. These indicate cleaning status and can help you avoid wasting energy, water, and detergent. Snag a major appliance for less. Follow this advice to save. Track down local rebates. You can slash your cost for a new electric cooking appliance for up to $840 or $7 a year over its 12-year life, or possibly more via utility company incentives. Search at energystar.gov/rebate-finder. Consider pre-owned. A used range or other appliance from a used appliance or repair shop can be as much as 75% off retail and typically carries a 6-month warranty. Look for open box options. Returned appliances and floor models may be sold in appliance retailers at a significant savings. How to find an eco-friendly dishwasher. My first thought when I read this headline was, tell the kids to do the dishes. Many manufacturers claim their products are environmentally friendly. But what does that mean, and how can you be sure it's true? Consumer Reports' Green Choice designation helps answer those questions before bestowing the designation we consider how sustainable the product is throughout its life cycle. We looked at the material used to make it, how it is manufactured, how it performs in your home, and how efficiently it can be recycled. Take dishwashers, for example. CR assesses each model's water and energy efficiency, brand reliability, weight and volume, interior materials, such as what the tub is made of, and more. We've also rated Green Choice washers and cars, and we will be expanding the program to more products later. And here are some 24-inch dishwashers. The Cafe CD845 at $1,400 gets a top rating. Samsung and KitchenAid both get 72s, $1,000 and $1,300 for each of those. The Whirlpool WTDA is $700, and the Samsung DW80R is $820. Those also got 72s. The Insignia DS at 71 at $550. Samsung DW80R995OUS is $930, scored a 69. And the Maytag MDB4949 at $700, scored a 67. The LG LPD68110BD at $800, scored 66. The Samsung DVR80RS5060US at $650, scored a 65. And the Hisense, which I've never heard of, HUI6620, scored a 63 at $500. Recycle appliances the right way. Shock and stat. About 2 million tons of discarded major appliances were added to the landfills in the recent year, an EPA study. If you have an applicant appliance to dispose of, here's how to do it responsibly. If it's still functional, offer it up to a local charitable organization like Habitat for Humanity, or list it on a free cycle site, Facebook, Marketplace, Nextdoor, or Craigslist. The Responsible Appliance Disposal Program can help you locate utilities and groups that will pick up and recycle large appliances, some without charge. Search at epa.gov. If you're replacing the appliance, ask whether the retailer delivering the new one offers a haul-away service. If you're getting rid of an old refrigerator or air conditioner, you may need special handling because of chlorofluorocarbon CFC refrigerants, which contribute to the thinning of the Earth's ozone layer. Call your town sanitation department to find out how you have it picked up. If you can't give it away, you can hire a removal service. Check its recycling practices first. According to Angie, a home services website, truck removal costs can start at $60 and average about $250. In the laundry room, potential savings are $500. Wash and dry smarter. Save at least $23 a year. Live greener and spend less by trying these easy tactics. Run a full load. That may seem obvious, but given that the Energy Star program has found the average household does 300 loads of laundry a year, many of us may be guilty of doing energy-wasting many loads. Be stingy with detergent. Consumer Reports testing reveals that 1.5 ounces is plenty for an average load. Use more and you're washing money down the drain. Plus, excess detergent could leave residue on your clothes and chemicals can escape into soil and water. Learn to love air drying. Estimates find that each dryer use costs 23 cents. For 300 loads a year, that's $69. Could you cut that by a third to save $23? Shake clothes out to minimize wrinkling. Try knits flat to avoid stretching. And if drying outside on the sun, turn brights and darks inside out to prevent fading. Bonus, it smells so darn good. University of Copenhagen research found that line drying produces organic compounds we recognize from plants and perfumes and find pleasing. Select a high spin cycle, but not for delicates. This will remove more moisture from fabrics, cutting your dryer time. Opt for dryer auto cycles, not timed. Automatic cycles use sensors to determine when items are dry and when the dryer ends the cycle, when a time cycle can keep spinning, wasting energy. Dry heavy stuff like towels and jeans separately from lightweight items such as t-shirts. The lighter weight items will dry faster, sparing your energy bill. Use your dryer's cool-down cycle if it has one. It finishes drying clothes, uses residual heat, economizing on energy. It also helps minimize wrinkling if clothes remain in the dryer after the cycle ends. Extend the life of your machines. Your washer and dryer are undoubtedly household MVPs, destaining your favorite shirt and fluffing up your softest towels. Here's how to keep those appliances in top condition. Even things up. Make sure your washing machine is level. During the spin cycle, it can hit 1600 RPM. If the appliance is off kilter, that velocity can cause damage. If yours is wobbly, adjust the feet individual. To adjust, use a level to evaluate all sides, then tighten the lock nuts on the feet in place. Minimize mold. If your washer has a self-clean feature, use it as recommended. If not, run an empty load on hot with a cup of bleach and an extra rinse cycle to move the bleach residue. Then wipe down, clean and dry the gaskets, and dry the door and detergent tray. Also, leave the door ajar on the front loaders after use, unless little kids are around, or open the lid on the top loader to help moisture evaporate. Don't overload the tub. To avoid overtaxing your washer, fill in front loaders from the top. With the drum lightly packed, the door should close easily for top loaders, just to fill the maximum fill line up to the plastic ring. Eyeball water intake hoses. If they're brittle or cracking, replace them. Not doing so could lead to a flood. Clean link fingers diligently. If your dryer field is clogged, it may run longer to dry clothes, which could wear out faster. Swap out all accordion-style ducts for rigid metal. These accordion ones can allow lint buildup, decreasing efficiency and increasing the risk of a fire. Brush well. With a vacuum and special brush, clean the duct annually to remove lint. It may need to take it apart in sections to do so. Save $400 plus. Bust out of the hot water rut. Consumer Reports testing has shown cold water to be as effective at cleaning as warmer water. Note that liquid detergents dissolve more easily in colder water than powder types. Also, set your water heater to 120 degrees Fahrenheit instead of 140. Doing so may help you save over $400 a year. Hang an indoor clothesline. We use them very successfully, including our basement in the winter, when humidity is very low and evaporation was high. Our dryer is rarely used. That's Tom and Anita Grote, Missouri. Can this washer-dryer be saved? If your laundry machines aren't working, you may think you have to start shopping. But repairs can often be made for much less, so consider this intel from Consumer Reports' recent member surveys. Whether you should repair or replace your electric dryer depends on how much it costs you, its age, and its potential repair cost versus the cost of a new dryer. We've done the calculations for in the chart below. The cost of your dryer was less than $700. The majority says, well, about average for repair it or consider repair it, and very low for replace. $789, consider repair, and possibly repair, and more than $900, definitely do repair rather than replacing. Dryers, $133 to $215, median out-of-pocket repair cost. Most common problems, clothes not drying, tangled up, balled up clothes, problems with the dryer's drum, rollers, belt, motor, unusual noise when operating. Washers, $155, median out-of-pocket repair cost. Most common problems, tangled or balled up clothes, odor. Time your energy use right. Save $21. Who cares when you do your laundry? Utility company might. Some charge more for electricity at peak hours, usually weekday working hours. Check with your provider. If yours does this, you could save a bit by doing laundry and other energy-intensive chores in the evenings or on the weekends. For example, PSEG, Long Island and New York, discounts standard rates by 40% during what is called super off-peak hours, 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. daily. If out of six loads a week, you put two in the dryer before going to bed after 10 p.m., you could save $21.48 per year, depending on the size of your dryer. Shop even smarter. Save up to $54 a year. Need a new washer or dryer? Go with Energy Star certified appliances. The washers use up 25% less energy, saving you about $38 a year, and a 40% less water than conventional ones. And the dryers use 70% less energy, saving you about $16 electric or $5.41 natural gas. You may also be able to snag a rebate. Check at energystar.gov/rebate-finder. The CR recommended electric dryer shown at Ryder earned our top score for reliability in our annual member survey. The LG DLE 7300, $1,000. LG DLE 7000W at $740. And the LG DLE X7900BE at $950. In the bathroom, the potential savings is $330. Save $140 with a really low-flow toilet. Water-saving toilets aren't new, but there's room for improvement. Toilets account for close to a third of all indoor water usage, while new toilets typically use 1.28 to 1.6 gallons in a flush. Older models can use up to 6 gallons. A WaterSense-labeled toilet can cut your annual H2O usage by 13,000 gallons. Wow. And they have two American Standard Champion Home Depot for $250 and Glacier A for $110 are both good. Fix household leaks. save up to $100 a year. They siphon off 1 trillion gallons of water per year in the U.S. According to the EPA, fixing leaks can cut your water bill by 10%, saving up to $100 per year. To check for toilet leaks, put a few drops of blue food coloring in your toilet tank and see if after 10 minutes it has seeped into the bowl. These silent leaks are common and can usually be fixed by replacing the flapper or floater. Available on Amazon and elsewhere for $6 and up. Get aerated faucets and shower heads. Replacing old faucets and aerators, which cost just a few dollars, with WaterSense labeled ones can save the typical household about $10 to $20 and up to 700 gallons of water annually, 45 showers worth. Do the same for shower heads and you can save more than 2,700 gallons and an extra $70 per year. Go to look for WaterSenseEPA.gov/rebates to see whether you can get a rebate. Save water while bathing. Showering accounts for almost 70% of a typical home's water usage, amounting to thousands of gallons each year, and heating the water consumes considerable energy, too. To trim your usage and save, consider a low-flow shower head. If your home has decent water pressure, it can provide a robust shower while typically using about 30% less water. Both of the CR-tested models that I'm going to list below provide satisfying showers and get top marks for water use. Hit pause. Many shower heads allow you to pause the flow of water while lathering up, saving water, without having to turn it off and on again. If you shower daily and pause a high-flow shower head for just a 1 minute in a typical shower, you save 900-plus gallons of water per year. No pause button in your shower head? Considering install a manual shutoff switch available online between the shower arm and the shower head. The Popro high-pressure fixed shower head at $18 and the Kohler Moxie BT shower head at $70, whoa, that's expensive, are the recommended ones. Stop faucet drips. A single leaky one can waste 3,000-plus gallons a year, or enough to take more than 180 showers. The EPA recommends Lowe's and Home Depot's online videos for the steps to fix sink and tub faucets. Also, turning off the tap when brushing teeth can save 8 gallons a day. Doing the same while shaving can further slash water use. CR's reader tip. Capture your cold shower water. You know the first minute or two when the shower water is still too cold to use? Don't let it go down the drain. We save it in a bucket, then use that water for flushing the toilet. Just pour it into the toilet bowl. Watering plants, washing bugs off the windshield, anything other than drinking it. Peter Decker, North Carolina. Gosh, I think I might know Peter. In the yard and garden, potential savings are $230. Control outdoor lighting with a timer. Outdoor lighting can improve your home security, curb appeal, and livability. But it also may hike up your electric bill if you tend to forget to turn lights off. Using a timer can make illuminating your property more manageable and less expensive. For example, Home Depot stocks wireless weatherproof photosensitive timers by Woods, $11, that can seamlessly turn on outdoor lights at dusk and turn them off at dawn, or can be set to turn lights off after a certain number of hours. No more accidentally leaving the patio lights on all night after a barbecue. Spartan up your sprinklers. Save up to $150 a year. At the start of 2023, a stunning 46% of the lower 48 states were in drought, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. Now, considering that residential outdoor water use accounts for almost 8 billion gallons of water every single day, mainly for landscape irrigation, experts estimate that up to half of the HTO is wasted because of overwatering caused by inefficient systems. One way to do better with WaterSense-labeled irrigation controllers that hydrate plants only as needed, saving an average home up to 15,000 gallons per year versus clock-centric controllers. That could cut the average annual outdoor water bill of $300 in half, saving up to $150 a year. Make friends with mulch. Want to spend less on water and weed? And weed killers for your garden? Spread mulch around plantings. It reduces evaporation from the soil, keeps the soil cool, adds nutrients, and can support beneficial microorganisms. Bainbridge says if it's time for some new lawn equipment, considering a mulching battery lawnmower, like the CR-recommended models that we'll list in a minute. These mowers leave behind mulch grass clippings, which furnish the soil by putting nitrogen back in, reducing the amount of store-bought fertilizer you need. You spend less for a healthier lawn. Zero in on xeriscaping. This landscaping technique adds to conserve water with soil analysis, plants adapted to low rainfall, the use of mulch, and more. David Brainbridge, a restoration ecologist and an outdoor user, used a, and an author, used a water district grant to redo his San Diego yard and now saves about $300 per year on water bills. Check with your water district to see if it offers grants, too. Switch to battery-operated yard tools. Five quick reasons to opt for rechargeable tools. Their motors produce zero emissions. Gas tools, by contrast, emit carbon dioxide, nitrogen oxides, and volatile organic compounds. In fact, they are dirtier than car engines. They're typically more efficient than gas-powered tools, so they require less energy to do the same amount of work. They are usually notably quieter than their gas cousin counterparts and could be a boon for both you and your neighbors. There's no need to refuel and risk a gasoline spill, which can contaminate groundwater and aquatic systems. They tend to be more reliable than gas tools, according to CR's member tools. The reliable battery string trippers are the Makita at $370, the Ego at $200, and the Cobalt from Lowe's at $250. The best mulching battery push mowers are the Ego LM at $600 and the Ryobi RY40 at $400. Reliable battery leaf blowers, the Makita XBU, $260, the Still BGA at $220, and the Milwaukee 2024 at $400. Collect your water in a rain bill. This is a CR's Rear's tip. For the last 10 years, we have set up a rain bill every spring and use it to fill our watering can throughout the summer. We don't use the outside tap for watering our hanging plants and batters. That's Tom Hogbrick in Ontario. Tweak your hot tub. Save about $80 a year. Those who own a hot tub get to relax in deliciously warm, bubbly water, but they're also hit with higher bills at a tune of $40 a month on average, according to Angie. Here are some ways to bring the energy costs down, according to Mike Tudemain, vice chair of the International Hot Tub Association and vice president of sales at Waterway Plastics, a supplier to the spa industry. Get a great-fitting, well-insulated cover to help lock in heat. That will technically be a thicker one, not 6 inches, but 8 to 10 inches. Lower the temperature. If it's set at 103 degrees Fahrenheit or 102 degrees Fahrenheit, lower it by a degree or two. Empty your spa during the winter months. If you live in a cold climate and won't be using it, you'll take your energy usage down to zero. Shut off the heat in the summer. If you live in a warm climate, you may be able to take dramatically lower or turn off the heat during the hot months. Experiment to see how much you can save. Why I water my yard with a smart hose. In-ground sprinkler systems with smart controllers can water your lawn or garden much more efficiently than a hose can, but they are expensive and can be tricky to do it yourself. So to water my garden beds, I tried out the Orbit B HYVE smart hose watering timer at $80, which connects to an app on your phone for programming. I hooked it up to a soaker hose that had buried under my garden beds. It automatically checks my local weather forecast, watering as needed. It skips the day's watering if rain or wind is in the horizon, minimizing water loss from evaporation. High winds cause water to evaporate before plants can absorb it. Most smart hose timers use Bluetooth, but it requires a plug-in Wi-Fi bridge, a device to control them when your smartphone is out of range. While the Orbit app is easier to use than the physical controls on a regular hose timers, it's a bit buggy and not very intuitive. Still, I found it a worthwhile way to save time and water for irrigating my garden. That's Dan Rokolowski, the writer for Home. Okay, let's do the road report. The first drive of the 2023 Toyota Crown. The new Crown is designed to bridge the gap between sedans and SUVs. The base 236-horsepower four-cylinder hybrid engine is EPA-rated for up to 41 miles per gallon combined. The top Platinum trim we drove has a 340-horsepower turbocharged hybrid powertrain and is EPA rated for up to 30 miles combined. Acceleration is invigorating in the Platinum. Ride and handling are competitive, but the car is neither luxurious nor sporty. Front seats are comfortable. The rear seat is snug for tall people. The cabin lacks the upscale ambience expected at the price. The base price is anywhere from $40,000 to $53,000. Destination charge of $1,000. The price as they drove it was $43,000. Can roadside assistance help out if my EV runs out of charge? An electric vehicle warns you before it runs out of range, so you can't make it to a charger. You'll at least be able to safely pull over. If you're finding this jam, many roadside assistance services, including AAA and those offered by automakers and insurers, will tow you home, if it's not too far, or to a charging station. They may even send a mobile charger out to you. Many new EVs come with at least a few months of roadside assistance. Check your car's manual or the automaker's website to see what is covered. How to drive safely in foggy weather. Fog, like the kind that can form on spring mornings, makes it difficult to see ahead when you're driving. If you have to drive through fog, slow down, increase your following distance, turn on your car's defrosters, front and rear, to keep the windshield and front, side, and rear windows clear. Also, turn on the headlights and fog lights if your car has them, even in daytime, so that your car is more visible to other motorists. But avoid using the high beams, says Jen Stockberger, who manages CR's headlight testing program. Brighter, higher-angle light will reflect off fog's water droplets, further reducing visibility and increasing glare. If you can't see through the fog, pull over as soon as it's safe to do so. And the vital statistic, 34% increase in urban car crash fatalities. From 2010 to 2019, city streets got more dangerous, according to a 2022 report from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety. Streets have gotten busier, and with more pedestrians and cyclists, and drivers more likely to ignore posted speed limits. Caution is the key when driving in the city, the foundation says, as is following traffic laws. And a little bit of humor to close out today. A 55-year-old man who was born on May 5th has been married 5 years, had 5 children, made $55,555.55 a year. Of course, his lucky number was 5. A friend of him tells us that a horse named Lucky Five will be running in the 5th race at Kentucky Derby. The man withdraws $5,555 in cash from his bank account, goes to the races, and bets on Lucky Five. Sure enough, the horse comes in 5th. Babs and Kenny go to a party. After a while, Babs turns to Kenny and says, "Kenny, why are we the only ones not wearing clothes at this gender reveal party?" Oh, that's terrible. A man who lost everything in crypto just wishes several thousand more people had warned him. Steve Martin is the most talented guy in the world. I mean, he does magic, he juggles, he plays the banjo, and yet somehow, he's famous. That's from Martin Short, who also is an actor and does stuff with Steve Martin. And with that, we've just about run out of time for today's episode of Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next week, and thanks so very much for listening.